A dollar earned is a dollar that's about to be spent.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the government told us this morning that incomes are rising, but so are costs. What's that doing to our economic recovery? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up for the most part. Dow up 35 points at 12,798. The NASDAQ pretty much flat right now, and the S&P 500 up about 0.1%. Chevron said today it made $6 billion last quarter, adding itself to the growing list of oil companies that are doing quite well with prices above $100 a barrel. And Caterpillar is reporting a quadrupling of its profit last quarter thanks to higher demand for bulldozers and other heavy equipment. Now let's get to this morning's numbers from the Commerce Department. We're making more money on the whole. Personal incomes were up 0.5% in March. We're also spending more money on things like food and gas. Consumer spending rose 0.2%. What does all this mean for the U.S. economy as a whole? Let's bring in our regular Friday guest, Chris Lowe, who's chief economist with FTN Financial, and he's with us live now from New York. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So what do these numbers say to you?
Well, yeah, it's a pretty complex picture, but here's what's going on. We have some decent growth in income. We also had some decent growth in spending. But underneath that, we had a pretty big increase in inflation as well. So people made more money, they spent more money, but they didn't get as much stuff with that money.
And is there more to it than just the earnings that are coming in from our paychecks?
Yeah, actually, there's a lot more to it. And one of the things that we see in these numbers is growing income inequality. When you look at the rise in income, which was 0.5, in that wage and salary income was only up 0.3%. So those who rely on their jobs for their income, they're not experiencing as much growth as others.
And when you look at the spending side of things, Chris, the dollar doesn't appear to be going as far. And a lot of people look at that and they say that's because of all the printing of money that's going on down at the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, the Fed would say otherwise, but I think whether it's directly because the Fed is printing money to buy bonds or if it's because investors don't like that the Fed is printing money to buy bonds and therefore are fleeing dollar investments, the effect is the same. And the dollar has been weak as long as the Fed has been pursuing this program. Weaker dollar means more inflation. The good news there is that the program is just about done. And we heard in Bernanke's press conference earlier this week, the Fed really doesn't have any interest in pursuing this kind of policy going forward.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thanks so much as always.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Well, now to a big loss for U.S. defense contractors. India has decided not to award a big contract to Boeing and Lockheed Martin. That means one of the world's fastest growing armies won't be buying U.S. fighter jets. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
India's $11 billion contract for 126 fighter jets is historically big. But despite heavy lobbying from U.S. CEOs and the White House, two European companies made the shortlist to produce the fighters. Boeing and Lockheed Martin came up short, says Pierre Tran with Defense News.
Fighter competitions are really in a class of their own. They're the leading edge, the flagship of the nation's defense industry.
The U.S. didn't offer its flagship jet, the world's most advanced F-22. Instead, it peddled decades-old F-16 and 18 technology. That's because Congress tightly controls who gets the best jet, says Pierre Tran. And India didn't make that short list.
That's a bit of a blow to a country's pride. You know, they say, what, we're not good enough for the best?
Tran says this fighter contract is about India developing technology as much as using it. The company that gets the contract will give training and boost India's understanding of aviation. That relationship will last decades, and it's one India won't be having with the U.S. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Comer Science and Education Foundation, dedicated to supporting innovative programs making a positive impact on the lives of individuals and communities.
Well, they're finally married, but with tongue firmly in cheek, I ask, was Kate Middleton really the right choice for Prince William? After all, historically, royal marriages were important for the political and economic future of a country. And until this morning, Kate was but a commoner. The BBC's Rebecca Singer has our story.
If Prince William had stuck to convention, the lady walking down the aisle this morning should have been a foreign princess, or at least from aristocracy, someone who would bring a strong political alliance with another country, help boost trade, or at least acquire new territory. David Carpenter is Professor of Medieval History at King's College London. He says if Prince William had really wanted to improve the outlook for the UK economy, he probably should have married the daughter of a high Chinese communist official.
A huge increase in trade between England and China, and possibly Chinese financial support if there was another economic crisis in Britain.
In fact, Prince William could have found several examples from English history. A Portuguese princess whose marriage to Charles II brought the port city of Mumbai under British control. Or a French queen who owned a large winemaking region of France and through her marriage to Henry II helped Britain become one of the biggest markets for red wine. But Carpenter says if Prince William had really wanted to follow in the footsteps of his ancestors, he should have tried to marry one of President Obama's daughters, possibly securing the special relationship British people like to think they have with America. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
All right, enough with the hard news. Let's get to something on the lighter side. In Miami, attorney Mark Gold is suing a strip club. He says the staff there got him so intoxicated he had a complete loss of judgment, rational thought, or ability to enter into lawful contracts or agreements. That's legalese for, how did I get this $19,000 charge on my credit card? In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Memo from the cool kids, they're not just tastemakers, you know, they're social connectors, too.
I hate the categorization of East Side hipsters. These are the people that are really engaged with social media and very likely to share.
And oh, so lucrative. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Plain old book festivals are going all Web 2.0 to get those folks. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.